If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. The time has finally come to an end. The final chapter of The Beast of the Backwoods. A shout out to my channel members and all my patrons. You guys are amazing as always, and the best fans a ghoul could ever have. The group was sitting in a big circle on Hannah's floor. There was her, obviously, and in other clockwise in the circle was Elijah, Jeremy, me, Eric, Danny, and Tasha, the girl from the other night who had brought the Ouija board. We had 3 pieces of the creature in front of us, a feather, the tooth, and a small vial of dried blood. "Look," Hannah explained. "Everything adds up. The feathers, blood, the footprint, the tooth, everything. Jack and me and Eric, we saw it." "But," Elijah said, scratching his head. "A demon? Really?" "Yes," she replied with a straight face. "I thought demons were, like, invisible," Eric wondered. "Well, they can be," she explained. "Those ones are usually the ones people experience. But throughout history, there are reports of creatures like these." "Giant-ass bird monsters?" Danny snorted. "Hell beasts. Things that just appear in the wilderness on the edge of civilization." "And you think that this could be one?" Elijah said. His face was twisted in a sort of bewildered confusion. "Well, yeah, I mean, think about it. Nothing else adds up. Birds don't have teeth, right? And dinosaurs don't have feet like these ones do, so it couldn't be that. And even if it was some kind of, you know, mismatch of the two, it still wouldn't work because it's just too big." Jeremy nodded. "I kinda saw it. It wasn't shaped like a dinosaur." "It had weird legs," I chimed in. "We all saw it. The 3 of us. At least part of it. It scratched my legs with its weird talon foot, I think. I think it has 4 legs. Everyone was silent for a minute before Hannah filled the void again. "It doesn't follow any natural laws." "Couldn't it be an alien then?" Tasha said. Elijah shook his head. "I doubt an alien would have feathers, at least feathers like the ones we have on Earth. But I don't think a demon is, you know, the answer." "Why not?" Hannah said. "It makes sense. There's a lot of ghostly activities around here. We're on a supernatural ley line. Weird things happen in places like this." "I did some digging around and found some reports of demonic sightings in the woods near here a long time ago. There was a hellhound sighting a few years ago back in Nixa."
"Hellhound?" Jeremy wondered.
"Basically dogs from hell."
"I don't see how it could be anything like that," Elijah said. "I'm sorry, I just can't believe it."
"Well, I haven't gotten to the best part yet." Everyone seemed to lean in and wait for her to say something. "North of here," she said, looking around the group, "French explorers found a native drawing of something called the Piazza. It was supposedly a giant 4-legged bird demon that regularly attacked people." The group shifted. "And the thing had horns on its head when that thing ran by us." Hannah paused for a dramatic effect. "I swore I saw some. Just for a half a second." Eric adjusted himself. Well, you've convinced me, he said. Jeremy wrinkled his shirt. You think it could be the Piazza thing? Maybe, she shrugged. Or maybe a member of its kind. In a place like this, along ley lines, I mean? Creatures sometimes slip through the cracks between worlds. Tasha sighed. Hannah, I'm not going to be mean or anything, but I think that you've lost it.
She knows what she's talking about, I blurted. You didn't even see the creature.
Everyone looked at me and I could feel their eyes burning my face.
It's okay, Hannah said. I get it. We'll let the fates decide what it is.
Huh? Danny muttered, only half paying attention. She reached behind her and pulled out a deck of cards before immediately shuffling them. She pulled the three pieces of the creature up close to them and started drawing cards.
Tarot? She explained.
It's what psychics use to connect with the supernatural world. The group watched as she pulled out three cards. She flipped the first one over.
Death, she reported.
She flipped the second. The moon symbolizes fear and confusion. The last card was flipped, and I could practically feel the air stagnant. The devil. A few people murmured, but the group stayed mostly quiet.
See? I said. I think she's right. It makes sense. What else could this thing be unless it's supernatural or something?
Eric agreed.
I guess so, Jeremy chimed in.
The others didn't seem so convinced, but nobody could say for sure what else it could be. Even if it was some kind of demon, Elijah spoke, I don't see how this will help us at all.
Well, Hannah said, if we know what it is, we could defend ourselves against it. Or, you know, set a trap.
A trap? How are you supposed to find it and trap it?
It's moving in a straight line, Eric told them. I did the math. If it keeps moving in the way that it has, it'll be at the end of the old factory by tomorrow, probably.
Well, that's convenient, Danny noted, lying down.
Why? I asked.
Because that's where the party is, he sat up. You know, the big one, tomorrow.
We all looked at each other.
The big-ass rager tomorrow at the old factory. Nobody had any kind of recognition.
Ugh, Danny sighed. You guys all suck.
It's gonna be attracted to the noise, Jeremy said, twisting his hands together. I know it will.
What do we do? I asked.
I think I know, Hannah told us, but we need to try to get people out of there first.
So we decided to split up the groups the next day and spread the word about what was out there. Eric and I worked together, showing people we knew the evidence and trying to convince them not to go. But between the blurry photograph Eric had taken of the tooth, it just really wasn't enough to really make a dent. Some people thought we were kidding. A few people seemed a little unnerved, but they would probably shake it off by the time the party rolled around that night. Everyone else just ignored us. As we rode around town, I wondered how much luck everyone else was having. Luckily, about the same as us. I also thought about Hannah's theory. It really did make the most sense to me. And I didn't just agree with her because I thought it might impress her. I always considered myself open to the possibility of ghosts and demons before, but when it was staring at me in the face, I was surprised with how easily I came to accept it. The more I thought about it, the more it made sense. Nothing else fit the description. Not aliens, not mutant science experiments, not ancient creatures thought long extinct climbing back up into the surface. It was something completely different, and something incredibly dangerous. But we had an obligation to protect people. God only knew what it would do if it managed to get into the party. We met Hannah later in the day, just outside of the factory. It was overgrown at that point, with broken windows and missing doors. But there was enough open field out front to set up a base of operations. Me and Eric grabbed some of her supplies, and she got to work drawing some kind of big circular symbol in salt. She also had a bag of candles and sage, mixed in with a bunch of other witchy things that she felt would help. Meanwhile, a few people were already walking past us and into the building, setting up speakers for the night.
Nobody really had any clue that something was out there, headed this way. If they did, they obviously didn't believe it. As the day went on, the shadows grew longer. More people from our party appeared, and even more for the other one. Jeremy had brought with him his father's handgun, and Danny managed to sneak out his father's hunting rifle out. We stashed them, along with a series of hatchets, machetes, and whatever else we could find in a brush against the chain fence guarded by Jeremy. My anxiety started to rise. We were really preparing to go to war, weren't we? With the creature from another realm, it was so surreal, and yet I still felt like I was standing in the middle of a gladiator ring, waiting for the gate to open so I could see into the jaws of the lion. But I wasn't alone here. There were people who were willing to risk themselves to protect others. I had the help. So I pushed my anxiety down and tried to ease myself by talking to Eric as we leaned up against the wall of the factory, staring down the overgrown road and into the woods. Sometime, right after the sun had set and the music had started inside, Hannah came up to us and leaned up against the wall next to me. "Thanks for supporting me, guys. I know some people thought my supernatural idea was stupid, but I know what this thing is." I nodded and smiled a bit, trying not to give away how nervous I was. "Yours makes the most sense," Eric shrugged. "Logically, you know?" "Yeah, but thanks anyways." She pushed herself off the wall and held out her hand in front of us. Little chains were hanging off the side. "Take these." "What is it?" I asked. "Silver. It's supposed to protect you. I know it's dumb, but I don't want anybody to get hurt." "Oh, a sick necklace?" Eric laughed, snatching them up. "I call this one." He slipped it over his head and tossed me the other one. It landed in the grass next to me and I had to lean over to find it. "All right," Hannah said, straightening herself. "Now we wait." Eric and I sat against the wall for the better part of an hour, talking quietly and watching as people moved in and out of the building, laughing and screaming at each other. Everyone else in the hunting group each had their own stations, waiting just out of view of the main road, where the creature would probably show up. I hoped that it wouldn't, and we could just wash our hands from this, but I knew even then, it wouldn't be over. But maybe, if it actually did, we could get enough eyewitnesses to convince law enforcement to investigate. I just hoped that nobody would get hurt in the process. I looked around at who we had. Tasha was here, reluctantly coming in and out of the party to check up on us, and stay on her toes. Hannah, obviously, who was stationed over by the salt symbol with her bag of witchy stuff. And there was Jeremy watching over the weapons in case we needed them. Danny was messing around inside, doing God only knows what. And there was me and Eric sharing a beer and looking up at the stars coming out from behind the clouds that were left. Elijah was at work at the diner. I had tried to convince him to call in sick, but his parents would have been on his back about it. And I don't think that he actually thought that the creature would show anyways. Another half an hour seemed to float by. Still, nothing happened. I started to think that maybe we got lucky, that it wasn't attracted to the sounds of the party that we had all feared. But then, something in the woods shifted. Everyone's attention turned towards the sound. Branches. Somewhere off in the left of the road, it moved closer. Jeremy jumped up in a squat and pulled out a pair of what looked like night vision goggles. He pressed a few buttons and then scrambled backwards into the grass. Even from how far away I was and how dark it was, I could tell that he was pale. Hannah stood and backed up behind a bush. Eric and I climbed to our feet, ready to run around to the salt to draw it in. I could feel myself shaking, even though I was using every ounce of might in my bones not to. All I could think about was it, how massive it was, and how long its claws were. Eric put his hand on my shoulder and held up a holy water gun, staring forward. The sounds of crunching and crashing moved up closer to the gate. Jeremy cowardly held a gun in his hands. And then I could see it. From the light of the party inside, a single massive leg emerged from the woods. 6 feet long, covered in dark speckled feathers and ending in a giant four-toed claw like a bird's. It pawed at the dirt of the road, and its body slowly moved out into the clearing. My stomach lurched like I was on a roller coaster. Its head was enormous. If it was a box, I could easily have been able to sit inside it. Maybe even Eric too, if we squeezed in. It stood well over my own head, and it had a round face several feet across. Two massive, glossy black eyes, the size of basketballs, scanned the surroundings. Its face ended in a short muzzle that turned into a small, curved, downward-facing beak like an owl's. The feathers on its head also stuck up on each end of its face like horns, like an owl. As it slowly moved further out, I could easily see why this thing was so easily able to rip that buck to shreds. Its body was shaped almost like a bear's, with hunched muscular shoulders that made the feathers on its back stick up at odd angles. But somehow, at the same time, its legs were so much longer than a bear's. Its hind legs were even longer and shaped like a panther or some kind of big cat, again ending in massive bird-like feet. Thin feathers poked up along its spine like scales on a crocodile. And to top it all off, it ended in not one, but two tails, longer than I was tall, and ended in tufts of feathers that made it look like a club. We were all struck with terror and awe. It was horrifying, but incredible. That was what creatures from hell looked like? It investigated the scene for a second or two, craning its head like an owl to see the double doors of the factory. And then it shrieked. Its maw opened well beyond the boundaries of its beak, stretching from one side of its face to the other. Dozens of sharp conical teeth lined its mouth, and the blacky inkiness inside was binge enough to swallow a whole-grown man whole. We all winced at the sound before it went charging through the gate, tearing into the ground and sending chunks of dirt and grass flying as it did. Hannah was the first to break from her gaze. She jumped out from her hiding space and waved her arms. It shifted directions, charging at her instead. I sprang into action, running around behind it as it moved. Eric followed me. Jeremy stood in place, stunned. The creature barreled towards Hannah, who had a look of determination and fear. It entered the circle, and then the sound of metal springing against metal cracked through the air. It shuddered to a halt, dragging chains along with it. Someone had set a bear trap in the center of the circle. Hannah reached into her bag and lit the sage while the monster clawed at its own foot. The trap only managed to snag a few toes. That was how big it was, but it seemed to stop it nonetheless, even if it was just for a few seconds. Inside, the music shut off and people flooded out to see what was happening. When the screaming started, Jeremy was snapped back into reality. He ran towards us, weapon in each hand. He gave me a nailed baseball bat, Eric an axe, and tossed a machete towards Hannah. It hit the ground next to her while she dropped the burning sage around the circle. People began fleeing the building away from the monster. Somewhere behind us, Danny and Tasha yelled something. The sounds of stampeding filled the air before promptly being overwhelmed by the scream of the creature again. "It can't leave the circle!" Hannah yelled. The beast gave up on trying to claw open the trap, so instead, it yanked its foot up, bringing the trap with it. It detached from the ground instantly, spraying dirt everywhere. "Help me light the candles!" Hannah called to us again. She threw the bag of stuff over to us and Eric bent down to pick it up. When I looked up from the bag, I saw the thing reach a single massive talon over top the edge of the circle and place it on the ground. Hannah's face went pale. It had its sights right on her. "Hey!" Eric dropped the bag and pulled out his water gun. He sprayed it a couple of times before the stream died. It did absolutely nothing. No steaming, no sizzling. The creature didn't even turn to look at him. Hannah was wrong. It wasn't some kind of demon or supernatural monster. It was something worse. It prepared to jump at Hannah. She stumbled backwards and hit the floor. But before it could do anything, a gunshot rang from the direction of the crowd. The monster screeched and whipped around. We all looked too. Danny was standing with his father's rifle, pointing it at that thing. He reloaded and shot again, except this time it only made it angrier.
"Ah, crap!" he barked.
It sprinted at him. He only had a fraction of a second to get out of the way. He dove into the grass as it scrambled past him, sliding in the dirt and dragging the chains of the bear trap with it. Its massive body brought it colliding into the factory, where the last remains of the partiers were fleeing out the back exit.
"Go!"
I commanded. Everyone obliged. We ran in unison towards the building where we would have cover. One by one, we hopped through the old window and onto the factory floor. Mostly empty, but with several remnants of the old factory lying in the middle of the room. Danny made it in last, just as the monster reached through the double doors and clawed at the concrete floor. It scraped and made a horrible noise like nails on a chalkboard.
"What do we do?" Hannah yelled.
I weighed our options. The exit was all the way across the floor, and directly in front of the thing. We would be caught in seconds. On the other hand, there was plenty of machinery, old offices, and tarp-covered doodads on the right.
"Hide!" I squeaked.
We scrambled into the assembly line graveyard. Everyone jumped behind something, or climbed into an office which still had the windows broken years ago. I found a ladder on one wall and climbed up, leading me to the catwalk that moved along the wall and overlooked the floor. But there wasn't any time to hide up there properly. The monster had already squeezed itself through the doors and was now lifting itself back up. I hope to God it didn't look up at me. Its feathers stood up on its shoulders and its spine, looked like some kind of armor plating. It took a few steps into the building, clacking its claws on the floor, looking towards our direction. I made eye contact with Eric down below, hiding behind some gray tarp, while we waited for it to come closer. It took a few more steps, striding even closer, and then stopped. Its massive head moved through the air and turned slightly cocked. It almost looked like a real bird when it did that. But what was it doing? I recalled an old documentary I'd seen on owls a long time ago. The footage had something similar. It was listening. Listening for us. A little voice from my memory played back to me like an old tape recording. The owl uses its ears to pinpoint the exact location of its prey. It could hear the heartbeat of a mouse from a tree canopy. I didn't have time to react before it reached a massive claw into the air and swiped at some old motor-looking thing, just big enough for one person to hide behind. It went spinning out into the open, revealing a cowardly Tasha in plain sight. Down below, Jeremy screamed and shot at it as many times as he could. Gunshots rang out, bouncing around the walls of the factory. The gun fired until all I could hear was clicking. It screeched again. It was even worse this time, in close quarters. I grit my teeth and watched helplessly as the massive body turned around, flinging its tails around and hitting Tasha square in the chest. She hit the floor and Hannah ran out to help her. Meanwhile, Jeremy stood almost directly below me, pinned up against the wall. Another shot was fired, this time from Danny. He aimed the shot again, hitting it in the shoulder. Thick black blood gushed out and hit the floor with an audible slosh. The owl was pissed. It rushed to Danny, who yelped and vaulted himself through the office window and into a small room. It collided with the wall, and the whole thing instantly caved, sending drywall dust out into the air. My instincts took over. I screamed and waved my arms in the air and hit the railing of the catwalk with my baseball bat. It clanged and echoed through the factory.
"Hey, idiot!"
Its head swung towards me, hanging from all the weight.
"Up here!"
Behind the monster, I saw Danny start to claw himself out of the rubble. I waved my arms some more to keep it distracted, but it wasn't interested. It turned back to stare at Danny, who was now feet away from its beak.
"No! Over here, you idiot!"
I threw the bat at it. It sailed through the air and struck it in the back. That did it. Its gaze snapped at me immediately, and I could see its mouth hang open a little bit, drooling.
"Shoot!"
I muttered to myself. It reared up on two legs and grabbed one end of the catwalk. It snapped underneath its weight immediately and smacked up against the ground, leaving me a little less room to walk. I turned and ran. I heard it take off after me. In a matter of seconds, it was underneath me. It bumped the bottom of the catwalk, and I went flying, shooting my arms out to catch myself. I hit the ground at the other end of the catwalk, where it turned into concrete. My body rolled over itself, twisted my arms, and only stopped when I hit the wall. I winced in pain and breathed in sharp air, but there wasn't any time to lick my wounds. Two massive claws grabbed the catwalk and ripped it down, and then reached back up and gripped the edge of the floor in front of me. I scrambled to my feet as its head popped up. It screeched at me, and I wobbled up next to the row of steps, half covering my ears and half crawling as I stumbled. Somewhere down on the floor, a gunshot fired. I heard it hit the wall. My body lurched onto another catwalk, thicker and more reinforced. A few discarded boxes laid here and there. An old forklift was lying on the side on the edge, too. As I started to run across it, I looked back and felt my throat tighten. The monster was crawling up the staircase after me, clumsily scraping up against the wall and knocking all these things over, but still fixated on me. I looked forward and focused on running. My footsteps clanked against the metal, an impossible speed. My lungs burned, and somehow behind me, the sound of claws against metal made me want to shiver. It was on the catwalk, too. It didn't sprint after me. Maybe it knew that the bridge wasn't meant to hold its weight, or maybe it didn't want to risk a 30-foot drop. But even when it was using caution, I could feel it gaining on me. It was just too big. Its strides were too long. It picked up the pace, closing the distance. I nearly tripped over myself, almost at the end of the footway, but it was almost there too, right on my tail. How did it get there so fast? Another shot rang out from down below. It hit the catwalk, sending sparks. The bridge swayed as something massive lurched forward. I jumped for the other side, hitting it with a thud and getting the wind knocked out of me. The creature hit the end of the catwalk, claws outstretched for me. It clawed at the metal as the catwalk failed. There was the sound of snapping metal, a short screech, and then claws at the ground at my feet. I turned to look at it, still on the ground. A sharp pain shot up through my leg. I screeched as the whole floor started to lean. It wasn't supporting on anything. The catwalk hit the ground below, exploding into sound. Blood pumped in my ears. I couldn't make out what was happening. There was shouting below me and a massive face just in front. My vision cleared and my lightheadedness failed. I was lying on another metallic floor, attached to the wall but still partially suspended. The monster was clawing at the edge of it, where the catwalk had just been, and it was now dangling, holding on with fierce resentment. I looked down. One of its massive toes was embedded in my foot, pinning it to the ground. I screamed again. It shrieked back at me, opening a massive mouth wide enough for me to fit into, and lined with razor-sharp teeth. I tried to scramble backwards. The floor lurched, and tools started to slide off, falling down the 3-story drop and hitting the floor with a clang. Down there, the group was yelling at me and at each other, trying to figure out what to do. There was another shot, missing and hitting the ceiling instead. I reached behind me and looked for anything to hold on to as the floor lurched down another peg, increasing the incline. I sat there, looking the jaws of death in the face. I imagined I looked a little something like Quint on Jaws right before he died. My fingers wrapped around some sort of rusty metal. It broke free in my hand and I brought it to eye level. A rusty pipe. I gripped it with both hands and brought it down on the creature's head. It chirped in surprise, but didn't budge. I gripped my teeth and whacked it again. My reflection stared back at me in its massive black eyes. It blinked a few times, and then jabbed that instead. It roared and let go immediately, dragging me down with it. I yelped and grabbed for anything. My fingers caught the edge of the floor as the massive creature fell. Its claw slid out of my foot with a sharp pulling pain, making me scream again. Below me, the thing hit the floor with a sort of muffled thud, but it wasn't dead. My friends attacked it while it was down. There was the sound of hatchets and baseball bats and machetes, and then a gunshot. Then it screeched again and sprinted towards the back doors, apparently too fed up to keep fighting. I sighed and dragged myself back up onto the floor, which was getting ready to give out. I noticed a little door at the wall and crawled up towards it, dragging my bloody foot along with me. From inside the door, I could hear running. It whipped open, revealing Eric, who reached down to help me up. We hobbled down the staircase together and back onto the ground floor. Eric laid me against the wall and Tasha wrapped my foot with her shirt. Everyone else stood back, breathing heavily and watching me bleed. The whole battle couldn't have taken more than a few minutes, but it felt like I had just come out of a marathon. I coughed like you would do after running a mile. Hannah paced behind the group. "This is all my fault," she said, tapping her finger against the back of her neck. I told you guys I knew how to handle it. She choked on her words. "We all believed it, Hannah," I said. It wasn't your fault." "Oh, God," she said. "Hey, now we know how to hurt it," Eric said, "and we have enough witnesses. We should go to the police." Jeremy nodded. "Plus, it's injured already." He pointed at the pool of shiny black goo 10 feet from us, and the trail led through the factory floor and out the other side. "It might not want to attack anyone for a while. Or it could be angrier," Hannah said nervously, still pacing. "And it could hurt someone else, or worse." Eric leaned up against the wall next to me. "She's right," he agreed. "We might have just enraged it. It might attack somebody else or come back." We all glanced at the entrances. "We can't wait here," I said. "If it doesn't show up, the cops will." "So what?" Tasha shrugged after. "Didn't you want them involved?" "Not when we have illegal firearms with us." The group shifted. "So we need to leave," Eric said. "Yeah," I nodded. Everyone else agreed. "Help me up," I said, reaching. Hannah and Eric helped me. "I think I need to go to the hospital," I said. Eric chuckled, looking at my bloody foot. "Yeah, you think?" "I could take us back to my house," Jeremy suggested, "while you guys head into town." We agreed. Hannah and Eric helped me limp towards the back door while Jeremy, Danny, and Tasha left for his house to try and put the weapons away before the cops showed up. We followed the trail of thick blood out of the factory and into the woods, where there was an obvious path of flattened undergrowth from the monster's retreat. We walked along the path for a few minutes because it was easier to move through and it pointed in the direction of town, but still cautious of anything that seemed out of place. It seemed safe for the moment, though. Hannah beat herself up over the mistake on the way over. She blamed herself for my injury, but honestly, I didn't see it as her fault. Even though we trusted her judgment in the whole supernatural thing, it wasn't fair for her. Eric and I told her that, but I could still see the shame in her eyes. If I wasn't so focused on the pain in my foot, I would have been feeling even worse for her. After a few minutes of hobbling, Eric pulled out his compass. "This isn't right," he said, stopping. "What? We're not going the right way?" I asked. "No, we're going the right way." "I don't see how that's a problem." "This route is more direct than it was before. It's going right in the town." My stomach turned. "What?" "It's going straight in the town." Hannah and I looked at each other. We picked up the pace. The path turned after a few minutes. We moved as fast as we could given my situation. I gritted my teeth while my foot dragged through the leafy litter. But as we got closer to town, I noticed a distinct lack of screaming or sirens. So where the hell was it? The path turned again, and we found ourselves bursting through the trees and into a dark, empty parking lot. I scanned the area. Nothing. The blood trail had dissipated too. But I also recognized the area. It was the diner. The lights were on inside, coming through the windows. Through the glass, I could see a person moving. It must have been Elijah, closing the store. We moved across the lot, watching the tree line for any movement. My heart beat heavily in my chest. Where was this thing? Was it nearby, watching us? Or did it move further in the town? I hoped it somehow found its way back into the woods instead. Eric let go of me and moved up to the window. He thumped on it and waved. Elijah popped up from behind the counter, squinting and looking confused. He walked up to the window and took out his headphones.
Dude, Eric yelled through the glass, we found it!
What? His voice came back muffled and metallic.
We fought the monster! It got Jack's foot!
Go to the hospital!
The creature came out of the forest here! Did you see it?
What? No, I didn't see anything.
Can we stop yelling? I asked sharply, my head starting to hurt.
Come outside, Eric waved at him.
Elijah walked out towards the back. We moved around the building to meet him.
I could hear his keys jangling as he opened the back door. He propped open the door and started walking towards us. He was 20 feet away whenever I heard it. Something above us. On top of the diner, some kind of massive shifting. We all looked up in horror as the mass of feathers rose up from behind the air conditioning unit, massed together in place with dark blood. Its eyes rose up and stared down at Elijah. How had he not noticed it? He screamed in terror and stumbled backwards. He tripped on the asphalt as the thing rose up to its true height and shrieked like a demented owl. It leaped off the building, shaking the machinery. Nobody had any time to react. It fell on him like a landslide, impossible to escape. Elijah tried to scramble away, but it was useless. In a second, it was on him, pinning one arm to the ground with its claw. He screamed again, this time in pain, as the bones in his arm snapped audibly. Eric roared and ran towards it, arms outstretched. In one kick of its foot, he went flying backwards, skidding across the pavement and gasping for air. He slowed to a halt next to the street lamp where a patch of asphalt was being repaved. Hannah screamed and ran towards him. I stood there, trying to balance on one foot, frozen. We had nothing. I didn't know what to do. The creature screeched again and Elijah winced. Saliva flew from its mouth and hitting him in the face. Then, it reached down and wrapped its massive mouth around his arm. Teeth tore through his flesh and he howled even louder, crying for mercy. I snapped into reality and ran towards it, ignoring the pain. I jumped and landed on its side, ripping and yanking at its feathers. But it was a mistake. It lifted its head up to meet me, still holding Elijah's arm and pinning him down. There was a sickening sound of popping, ripping, and wailing, blood exploding from the spot where his arm used to be. It dangled from the monster's mouth, snagged on rows of razor-sharp teeth, dwarfed by its size. It released Elijah and shook me off. I hit the floor as it turned to face me, lapping up the arm and swallowing. Crimson blood dripped down its face as it loomed. I could see my face and its eyes reflecting by the light of the street lamps. I choked on my heart. Elijah used his remaining arm to drag himself through the pool of his own blood and tears.
Hey!
Hannah yelled. A rock sailed over me and hit it in its skull. Its attention snapped to her. Eric threw another rock from the pile that she had collected from the hole in the asphalt. He was sitting up, clutching his chest and heaving sharp pains. More bricks pelted its body. It backed up and turned away from them, too fed up to try and fight. For a second, I was relieved. We were going to survive. But as it started to head back towards the woods, it leaned down to grab Elijah's leg, who was still sniffling and trying desperately to crawl away.
No!
He mumbled. The teeth sunk into his leg and he screeched again.
No! No!
We all screamed. It was too late. It took off running, dragging Elijah's helpless body across the pavement with it, screaming the whole way. In less than 3 seconds, it bursted into the forest, pulling the screeching meat into the woods, getting quieter and quieter with every passing second. We all screamed. Hannah ran after it, but it was useless. There was no way she could catch it. She fell down at the edge of the parking lot next to the trail of shiny blood, sobbing. Eric climbed to his feet, heaving and trying not to cry. Everything seemed to go blurry afterwards. I remembered red and blue lights and the inside of a white ambulance. I woke up the next morning in the hospital. Police questioned me about the incidents of the night before, about the party, and about the trail of blood in the parking lot at the diner that moved into the woods. They asked me if I knew where Elijah was, but even when I answered honestly, they seemed suspicious of me. It was only after the flood of reports from the partiers of the night before that they seemed to let me off the hook. The case was never opened publicly. The missing person signs were never taken down around town. And if they ever found that thing out there, they never said so. Even the townwide search turned up nothing. But it never came back, and none of us heard of anything similar in other towns. It just disappeared. Maybe one day reports will come in about another feathered monster terrorizing citizens of another small town along the Mississippi. Hannah and I broke up a few months later. We fell out of touch. Most of us seemed to fall out of touch after the incident. But Eric and I talk every once in a while. We still make lunch plans every now and then. We kept some of the feathers. The foot cast is sitting in his garage somewhere. Now it's not anything more than an urban legend. The monster that killed a boy 15 years ago. And every now and then I have nightmares of screaming and being dragged away to a horrible death like that buck in the woods did the first time we saw it. A few months ago they found human bones at the base of an old stream somewhere out in the woods, mixed in with deer and raccoon. The DNA was apparently inconclusive, but we all knew who it was.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.